This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Preserving Our Past on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. Our past can be identified through whakapapa, ancestry, heritage, and history. On this show, we highlight the tangible parts of the past, or those that we can see and touch. I'm Suzanne Rawson, a cultural materials conservator, and I invite you to join me in a journey of uncovering the stories of the special things in our communities. Kia ora, welcome to Preserving Our Past on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. My name is Suzanne and I'm your host. In this episode, I'm joined by Derek Hughes, a Namotu New Plymouth-based photographer who has extensive experience in photographing heritage items and artworks. Welcome, Derek.
Hi, Suzanne. Good to be here.
It's always a pleasure. Yeah. Oh, great. You think the idea of a show on cultural materials is important?
Absolutely. Otherwise, we'll lose our heritage if we don't record it and talk about it.
Fantastic. Yeah. I love that. I'm here today to talk about your heritage, though, because you are such a fascinating person. Tell me more about your background, Derek, and how you got into photography, please.
I'm not quite sure, to be quite honest. But my parents gave me a camera when I was 10. Gave myself and my brother a camera. We both enjoyed it, and obviously have been taking photos ever since. And my earliest memory of processing was with my uncle, who was a photographer in Levin. I can remember going into the dark room with him. I was probably about 12 and watching him processing handfuls of prints. And it stuck with me for the last too many years to think about. So, I've always felt connected to it. I've always, even looking back through some of my old photos, I found some taken in 67, so I would have been 12. When they had a motor racing for 2 years around the Paratoot circuit, and I actually managed to pan and follow cars.
Oh my gosh.
No one had told me how or anything, and I found the photos and thought, well, these aren't bad for a kid.
Yeah, wow.
So I've always enjoyed just capturing things that...
So your uncle, was he doing like studio photography?
He was a full-time studio, professional wedding portrait photographer, all sorts in Levin.
Huh.
And also had a cousin, his daughter, who is a very, very talented artist, used to hand colour for some of his photos.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's sort of in the family.
Yes, it's interesting how many times people say that. I think one of the things that's come out in conversation around this show is how people discover what they're capable of through their ancestors. Like, I didn't know we weren't just, you know, academics or farmers. There was so much more to... this stream of common characteristics. So your family, the Hughes family, are they early immigrants to New Zealand?
We're on one side, we come from Norway.
Ah.
And they settled in Norswood, literally built the road from Napier to Norswood back in the 1850s. I've lost track. The other side were European settled, so we're... Dad was third generation, I guess.
Wow.
But yeah, farming background.
Really?
Central Taranaki farming. Dad's right. Parents were farmers.
So earlier you talked about your engineering experience. How does engineering fit into your creativity or your interest in art?
I'm sure there's logic there somewhere. But back in the 60s, going on to 70s, you know, parents basically... suggested that's what I should do. Both my brothers were mechanics. I was quite keen to follow them. My parents insisted, no, you should go to university, study something. So I finished up doing engineering, which I enjoyed.
Wow. Huh.
But I did get a bit disillusioned with the lack of practical experience doing a degree and finished up working in an engineering workshop, absolutely loving it.
Wow.
And, yeah, ditched the... Well, should I say the university ditched me, but the practical side of it was much more important.
Yeah. Do you make your own camera mounts and such because of that background?
No, I haven't got the equipment now. I did have for a while and potted around doing a bit of creative stuff. But
There seems a lot of opportunity in New Zealand to come up with new designs and ways of doing things.
Possibly, yeah.
So you have been a big part of documenting heritage in the Taranaki region for decades. You collaborated with Andrew Moffat and Pukialiki on the book Flashback, Tales and Treasures of Taranaki. It's a great book. It's an older book now, but it really highlights and showcases items from the Pukialiki collection. Tell me about that process, and what did you find unique about working with museum items as opposed to what you do creatively?
That was a fantastic project to get my teeth into, actually. When I came back to Taranaki in, 73, it must have been, that's when photography, 83. The hobby, I set up a darkroom in New Plymouth that I was given, didn't cost me anything in rent, and people started asking me to do stuff, and it thought, no, to hell with it, I'm just going to do this. It was supposed to be a year off and I was going to go back to engineering, and never quite happened. Anyway, I met Ron Lambert probably mid-80s when he was director of the Taranaki Museum, and he got me to photograph things for him, document things. So I spent the best part of 35, 36 years working with their local museum, which was fantastic.
Wow.
But yeah, the books, the stuff I did with Andrew, it's just fascinating to get in and see some of this stuff that comes back. And we had a lot of fun, like building a almost like a room setting with some of the old furniture made out of butter boxes and things, and setting it up in their smoker room to photograph. So yeah, nothing, no such thing as a studio. We would just set things up, make them look good, use whatever lighting was available. And we had fun. We were both passionate about what we were doing and trying to make them look good.
Yeah, that's the thing that stands out about the book, is that there are white pages and the objects almost look three-dimensional. The way you photograph them and lit them, they just leap off the page at you. And that's hard to do for things like bottles and glass. And
potentially the fact that I never worked for another photographer or a photographic studio, so everything I know I've taught myself means I wasn't pre-programmed to do things a certain way. And I think it's been, a pain in the ass at times, but B, it's allowed me to do things without thinking, oh, so-and-so would have done it this way. I've just done it my way.
Fantastic.
And Pukialiki didn't have a studio, so the lighting was weird, to say the least, at times. And it was a case of just making it. Yeah, I'd taken my own lights, and it was a mix of what was in there and a bit of artificial light that I would add.
Oh my gosh.
We just learnt, I learnt to make it work.
I love that. That is such a Kiwi ingenuity thing. I want to unpack that some more, because you've got another fun story about working with bigger institutions or visiting them. So today Derek has shared his favorite songs. So the first song we've got is by Moody Blues, called Nights in White Satin.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always miss with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Some try to tell me thoughts they cannot defend. Just what you want to be, you will be in the end. And I love you. Yes, I love you.
Welcome back. This is Preserving Our Past with Suzanne, and I have a guest, Derek Hughes, with me today talking about photographing heritage items. We had just ended the first segment talking about, in my words, how Taranaki we think differently here, and we punch above our weight in a lot of ways. I think you told me a story one time about visiting a larger institution and how surprised you were that some of the things you were doing here in Taranaki were better than what they were doing with more resources.
I did too. I got invited to visit the National Library if I was ever down there, because I'd been working with or met one of the guys from there. And it was sort of interesting. Anne and I went to Wellington and met up with this guy, and he took me on a tour around their facilities. Bit of an eye-opener. Anyway, they had literally, I think the day before, received a copy of Andrew's book, and him and his manager were talking about it when I arrived. And at the time, I'm not sure whether they realised I'd done a lot of the photography, but they were very, very complimentary about the quality of A, the book, and B, the photography. So I thought, oh, this is interesting. I've just seen their studio, which is probably worth, I hate to imagine how much. And they are just going very, very positive about these photos that I'd done in not a studio.
It
made me feel good, but yeah, it was very good. But yeah, I also discovered that some of the work I was doing was in a way that they didn't do themselves. And I guess that's a typical Kiwi thing too. I didn't have the resources or the facilities to invest, so I made things work.
I love that.
And I mean, one of the things was the Swainson Wood project that Puki Ariki did over recent years. I helped set them up to not use a scanner to do the negatives, but to do it all through camera.
So these are all glass plate negatives from a studio?
Some glass plate, but mainly film, going from the early, was it 20s, Swainson Studios right through to the Bernard Wood Studios. So it's a whole range of medium format, 35mm and glass plate.
Wow.
They had 110 or 111,000 negatives.
Oh,
fantastic resource.
Wow. You helped set them up to...
But I discovered after I'd done that that no one else seemed to be using that method to document negatives. But with that quantity, it just made sense, and that's what I'd been using for a while, and it was working.
Oh, that's great. That's all that matters, isn't it?
Typical small business, you haven't got the resources, so you find a way to do things
yes.
and make them work.
Get a test to that.
Yeah.
So people often find you at the Gables Colonial Hospital. This is in Brooklyn's near the zoo. And interesting fact about that, it's registered as a Category 1 property with Heritage New Zealand Puhere Tonga, and that affords it special protections due to its history. But I have a personal connection to the hospital as well with Dr. Thomas Rawson. He's an ancestor of my husband's, and he was one of the original practicing doctors there during the land wars. But I love picturing you in this space. How do you think historic places and buildings kind of add to our experience of history and art?
I think it's a fantastic location. I mean, it was built in, what, the 1840s?
Yeah,
I think somewhere
exactly
back then.
Sure.
As a colonial hospital, obviously, it was rented out, but the council did a massive renovation in the mid-80s. And I'm not sure how it came about, but the North Taranaki Art Society acquired the lease to be the tenant there. So the council wanted someone there to keep the building open to the public to view. But looking, I guess, for a friendly type tenant, if you like. So yeah, the Art Society has been there since 1986.
Right,
and I just think art, and I mean, for me, I just love going into the building anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But the combination of art and the heritage building is fantastic. I think it works brilliantly. So it's open for people to come in and enjoy the art, enjoy the building. And sometimes I reckon it's a 50-50 split between people who see the building and go, wow, I want to have a look at that, and come in and, oh, wow, look at the art as well.
Yes.
Or the artists who come in and think, oh, what a fabulous location. So yeah, it does work.
Oh, that's
it's just
great.
A great place to be.
We're very lucky, I think, to have that resource in our community. And
I
it's not
so.
In its original location. It's been moved there, but
it
adds
yeah.
to its ambiance.
Well, it is in a fabulous location. I mean, the park's the centre of the city.
Yes. Yeah, that's also an inspirational environment for you.
Absolutely. I mean, nature photography's always been my thing. Nature's been my thing since I was quite young. So a lot of my photography is in some way documenting nature in its many forms. So yeah, the location up there is great for that too.
And nature and heritage are intricately linked as well, aren't they, with our natural heritages, with trees and significant species of birds and so on. And you're documenting that side of heritage too, aren't you, through what you do?
Yeah, I do, I guess. Always had a fascination with the native bush, so got a connection.
Yeah.
Grew up with a gardening family as well as farmers, so yeah, I've always been close to it.
We're very lucky in Taranaki to have this collection of environments to draw on, both nature, industrial, and heritage and history. But so you and I collaborate on the photography of cultural materials for conservation.
We do. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
Challenging, but a lot of fun.
Oh, good. Challenging. Do you change the way you photograph something when you're when it becomes about studying the surface, or when it becomes about kind of producing this digital legacy of an object? Do you photograph differently in our mahi than you do in other things that you do?
I'm not sure. I mean, my photography, even when I was doing a lot of commercial work, and a lot of my commercial photography was engineering related, so I had a connection. But even if I'm documenting something for a client, I'm still looking to turn it, make it a work of art, if you like.
Wow.
So when I was doing commercial work, I would shoot what the client wanted, and then I would shoot what I thought they should want. And probably more often than not, they would finish up using the photos I'd taken, which were more artistic.
Mm.
So when it comes down to heritage objects, yes, I like to document it to show its detail and its structure and its form. But yeah, I am also thinking about how it relates to us and whether I can, doesn't always work, but whether I can make it slightly artistic, if you like,
wow,
for want of a better word. But the important thing for me is capturing the detail. So the lighting is a challenge, especially when you're dealing with things you can't pick up and move around, like a certain waka.
We don't let you touch them. Not allowed to touch it, Derek.
So the lighting is a challenge, but it's a different type of work.
Wow.
But it's about retaining that detail so that you can look at one of the images and say, wow, look at that, that you may not see looking at it from a distance.
Mm. This is great insight into your process. So our second song that you've picked today is by Sky, named Toccata.
We'll be right back.
welcome back. I'm here today for Preserving Our Past with Derek Hughes, a local photographer who's been working with us on cultural heritage photography. And this last segment, I really want to talk more about your role in preservation digitally. So digitization or scanning as a form of preservation, and then digital restoration. So these are all very different topics with different ethical dilemmas. And as far as digital preservation and conservation, there's a tension about whether you digitize something to create a record of it, or whether you preserve the original, where you put your resources towards and your time towards. But people don't often realize that digital versions need to be archived and maintained as well. And I'm not just talking about like two-dimensional images. There's laser scans, there's photogrammetry nowadays. What are your thoughts about the role of digital preservation of physical items or three-dimensional items?
Well, it's a huge piece, I think. I mean, I've been, I guess, copying old photos since I first started in business. Mm. So in those days, we were producing negatives, which may or may not last forever. We don't know. Black and white film and print process probably will last almost forever. Colour, not so much. So it is an ongoing challenge. The digital world's given us a lot more opportunities. But yeah, there's two sides of preservation. One is to document it as it's found or preserved or in its current state, which is very important. And all the years I've been working with Pukeriki, that's vital. It's a record of their collection. Mm. The next step is to actually try and recover, restore to a point where it's more visually appearing for an end use. So there's probably two versions of a lot of what I do. One is a record of it as is, and another one is presenting something that's visually appealing. That a family might find an old photo or an old document, and they want to rehang it on their wall, but they don't want the battered, damaged document hanging on their wall. They want something that's more like the original. Mm. So it's getting that line. I like restoring old photos to the point where the history is still visually there, but the important details been recovered. I don't really like bringing it back to an as new state, which a lot of clients ask me to do.
I get the sense that some people are embarrassed that they've almost let the photograph or item get into that condition in the first place. Like, they just didn't realize it was within a box of other things, or maybe they stored things in the garage or shed that got leaked on. And so they feel a sense of relief that you're able to care for this thing digitally and bring it back, even if they couldn't retain the original.
Oh, I think that's really important too. Mm. And I'm finding more and more people taking a lot more interest in the old history and the old family history and trying to retain them. Although it unfortunately can be a very expensive exercise when you're dealing with literally thousands of old slides, for instance.
Oh my gosh.
And that's not uncommon.
Right. So you provide a service where you do digital restoration and to improve the appearance. But I feel like there's kind of beauty in that decay, but there's also comfort in seeing an image as intended as a whole, like the intention of the artwork, the intention of the original image. You, if it's a portrait, you have a picture of someone in an environment, and you get a snapshot of that moment in time, what they're wearing, what they're worried about, what they're looking at, and those you're still trying to kind of preserve those when you do the restoration.
Oh, we are. I like to see obvious signs that it is a historical item. Mm-hmm. So there might be the odd scratch and the odd ding and the old crease, but especially faces. If you're doing it for a family or a family member, you do want to be able to see the faces in particular, because that's the first thing people look at. So yeah, it's finding that line. I don't like going past it and making it perfect, but occasionally I have done.
You're very talented.
But even things like, I had a gentleman a couple of years ago brought in a wedding photo, and for his 50th wedding anniversary, he wanted a coloured version of their wedding photo, which were all shot in black and white except a few of the bride and the girls.
Oh my gosh, how do you even
I copied it and we sat down together, and he said, look, my suit was this colour. He had a photo of the bridesmaids in colour and a piece of the fabric, and between us we came up with something that he thought was realistic.
Gosh.
It was fun. It was so much fun, and apparently his wife was over the moon.
That's incredible.
So there's so many things we can do, probably easier than I used to in the darkroom days.
Mm,
it's opened up a whole new world. It's fun.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with me, Derek. How can our listeners find out more information about you?
Well, Derek's Darkroom's the business, and I've been lurking around my home in Lemma Street for 30-odd years. And that's what I do, focus on a lot of the preservation and copying the old stuff, the printing.
Fantastic.
And tied up with the art society and the art world as well. It's
great.
So you've got what you do in the preservation. So you've got fingers in all sorts of pies and love every second of it.
And you've got a Facebook page as well?
I am on Facebook.
Great.
Yeah, got a
Derek
website.
Hughes.
Yeah.
Okay. Great, Derek. I look forward to continuing to work with you. And I appreciate, again, you sharing your experience around cultural materials.
That's
Thank
fun.
You so much.
Pleasure.
I appreciate you coming in.
No problem.
That's our show for this week. Ngā mihi nui, listeners, and thank you so much to our sponsor, HPFS Solutions, for making these stories possible. Please join me next week when we begin a whole new story. To listen to past episodes, visit our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.